with me in your Bibles, please, to the 12th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. We talked earlier about becoming a brute in Psalm 73. Notice here in Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish, like an animal. If you hate reproof, Solomon here says you're like an animal. What does it mean to hate reproof? Here's the difference between us and animals. When the dog gets out of line and wets on the floor or chews up the pillow, and you whack him, he says, "I don't like that. So because I don't like it, I won't do it again." If he can make the connection. Sometimes it's difficult for animals to make that connection. You know, you take the dog over to the accident and you push his nose in it and you whack him on the whatever, and then you send him outside and you say, "You do that outside." And they develop that association. But they don't like it. When they see you, and they can tell by your smell, they can tell by the way you look that it's, you know, uh-oh time. And so they won't come near you if they can avoid it. Or they'll get that, you know. But we're not like them. We ought. That's a good word. There, we ought to take instruction and profit from it. We're not building a brutish association between negative reinforcement and doing what we want. What we're doing is we are recognizing the health in the stripes, the health in the correction. He that hates reproof, Solomon says, he has devolved himself into a brute, into a beast. He's acting like an animal. Rather than receiving the instruction, the correction, and saying, that was good for me. Remember what the psalmist says? It was good for me. It was good for me to have been chastised, that I may learn to keep thy law. A brute can't do that. Chastisement, that's always bad. But not so with human beings created in the image of God, whose affections and love are toward obedience. So very important. How you respond, how you react in the face of correction, reproof, chastisement, says a lot. Solomon has set that before us now several times as a spiritual barometer, hasn't he? Let's think on that. All right, skipping down to verse 3. Verses 2 and 3, these next verses reveal in chiastic structure that the Lord favors those who do good and will not allow them to be rooted up, but the wicked man shall not be established. This chiasm presupposes the sovereign providence and justice of God, and we are required to trust in Him for His prosecution of His own ends. So it's A-B-B-A structure. A good man obtaineth favor. A wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. So righteous, unrighteous, unrighteous, righteous. A-B-B-A. Chiastic structure telling us that the Lord providentially orders things for His own pleasure, but never rewards the wicked for their wickedness. The wicked man believes that his wickedness establishes him. Got to get an advantage. Got to make a way. The Lord says it will not stand. All right, then verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Here once again we see the public nature of our behavior, whether for good or evil, that in our most intimate relations, our sins or our good deeds affect those around us. A woman married to a man or a man married to a woman, it can go either way. Solomon just sets it one way, but the inverse is also true. That when we do well, we lift up those around us, and when we do ill, we harm those around us. Either by way of setting a bad example, or by them partaking in the chastisements and difficulties that our sins bring, and the aggravations that come with our sins. So let us take care there. When we sin, we do not only sin for ourselves. We bring others into difficulty when we do. All right, once again, a chiasm in verses 5 and 6. The relationship between thoughts and words. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. But the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Notice how we have a chiasm with an elevation in it, right? It's still A-B-B-A, but we go from thoughts to words. So, be careful what you think, because whatever it is that you allow yourself to think will eventually come out in your words. If you get upset with someone, you turn from that and you say to yourself, just keep in mind that someday that will come leaping forth from your mouth. There is a direct relationship between what you think and what you say. So guard what you think, right? Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life, is the counsel of Solomon. All right, so once again, the wicked pursue their evil ends, but they are overthrown. They think they are preserving their interests, their houses, their name. However, they only tear their lives down to nothing. The house of the righteous shall stand. As a good illustration of that, you remember the guy, hey, you without a shoe. You remember in the story of Ruth? Yeah, Boaz says, well, she's of near kin to you. You've got to build up seed to your brother. He says, oh, if I do that, I'll lose my name. But in the scriptural record, whose name is forgotten? hey, you without a shoe, his name is forgotten. So he sought to raise up his own name. Instead, it fell to the ground. And Boaz's name is preserved. Very interesting, isn't it? All right, so then wisdom and perversity contrasted, condemnation and contempt in verse 8. How about verse 9? He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. Boy, that's a tough one. I had to think about that one a while and consulted a few commentaries. And I think really the best way to understand this is there is a particular attitude of ostentatiousness in some. So that while they have no bread at home, they're keeping up appearances. But the first guy here, he that is despised and hath a servant, is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. The guy that honoreth himself, he's making sure that everybody thinks he's in good shape, but he doesn't have anything. But then there's this other guy over here who's got a servant. His house is large enough to have a servant, but he's despised. But he's cared for. So ostentation there is what is spoken against in this proverb. That we would pretend to have much. In our day, this translates into people that have, leased houses, leased cars, leased furniture, leased clothing, without owning anything, because they're trying to maintain appearances. Maintaining appearances here is what Solomon is speaking against. Seeking our own honor at the expense of having real substance. All right. let's see. This is a very interesting passage, a deep proverb in verse 10. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. We reason from the lesser to the greater here, right? So that if a righteous man cares for his beast, how much more will he care for his household? And how much more will he care for the stranger? And how much more will he care for those, like it says in Isaiah 58, of his own flesh that are in need? If he'll do that, if he'll care for his beast, he'll care for all of those other folks as well. But the tender mercies, even the greatest mercy that we might expect from a wicked man, is cruel. Hardness. A stiff jaw. Shutting up his mercies to those who are in need. That's merciful to him. Oh, well, and there's always that, if I help him, he'll become dependent. So the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. A couple of proverbs in here talking about diligence. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Notice that the contrast there is between diligence and vanity. Diligence and vanity. That's really an interesting contrast, especially in our recreation, entertainment-oriented culture. That we have two choices. We have diligence or entertainment. We have, if I can put it in the language of the Proverbs, diligence or vanity. There are many. Now, I'm not against recreations. I'm not against entertainment. You know that about me. But I do believe that we are given over to that in our society. That it is overblown. We have fallen way too far to the side of entertainments and recreations instead of diligence. And we see it being played out. We see it being played out in lower test scores for our students. We see it played out in more ignorance in churches. We see it played out in a less educated ministry. We see it being played out in a lack of understanding of our history as a nation. We see it being played out in that as a nation we are easily duped. As long as people keep us in our entertainments, we'll keep electing them. So, we must be careful then. Diligence and vanity are the contrast here. All right, verses 12 through 14, in this chiastic passage, we see the relationship between the mouth and the hands. right? The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Very interesting passage. So that as we speak, so our works follow. Notice earlier we had, as we think, our words follow. Now we have, as our words go, our actions follow. So notice the close tie between our thoughts, words, and deeds, and how we must have a unity between them. And we will have that unity. Very many times we see that the mouth and the hands are at odds with one another. What do we call that? Hypocrisy. Okay? Moving on. I just can't get to everything. The lip of truth shall be established forever. Verse 19. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. 17, 18, and 19. A threefold chiasm. A, B, B, A, B. Very interesting structure. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. The tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. A, B, B, A, B. Very interesting. But what Solomon is teaching us here, notice this very important point, that there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. As I've told you before, your words can wound or they can heal. All right, well, one more and we'll have to be done. Verse 22, another common thread in the Proverbs, truth versus falsehood. 20, 21, and 22. Deceit is in the heart of them and imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Once again, it's an opposing trifold chiasm. It's another common theme, truth versus falsehood. Lies are from the father of lies. It is not intelligent nor wise ever to lie. The Lord God is a God of truth, and all his are to be truthful to imitate him. And they that deal truly are his delight, is the next portion. Put away the gray in this area. Judge righteous judgment. All right, finally then, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them, in verse 26. This is tantamount to what the writer says in Hebrews chapter 3, that sin is a deceiver. It's a seducer. It doesn't come to you with a flashing red S on it. Satan appears as an angel of light. His temptations are designed to make you fall. So sin is a deceiver. This is why we need what? Counselors. Objectivity. An objectivity that we do not have. One of the Proverbs in this chapter is, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, right? All right, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms. Turn with me in your Psalters, please, to Psalm 104.